This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, Leila Ali is going to join us here on the show. Looking forward to that. Of course, the daughter of Muhammad Ali, boxer in her own right. Also doing a lot of lifestyle and brand making, launching a new cookbook, and a member of the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Leila Ali, a woman for all ages, will be joining us coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Also, I promise you on a daily basis, good audio. And today might be the best audio. Make sure you have cleared out about 5 minutes to just listen at 20 minutes past the hour today. Because as I've told you before, John Sterling, voice of the Yankees, one of our faves around here, he is a character unto himself. He is now hosting for the first time a pregame show that's a call-in show before Yankee games. John can't hear. Some people would say he can't see either, but he really can't hear. And so when the callers are calling up, asking him questions, or just simply saying good morning or I love you, or he has no idea, and it is making for the most excruciating delays on this show. And it's stacked phone lines. This isn't like, oh, one call an hour. This is all he does is take phone calls. I'm going to play for you some incredible audio from Sundays with Sterling coming up in about 15 minutes. It's all baseball. It's radio, too. And it's audio death. And it's amazing. It's a thrill ride in every which way. But let's start with the NBA playoffs. Last night, the Golden State Warriors once again make short work of the San Antonio Spurs, winning in five games, and they move on to a second-round series against the Anthony Davis-led Pelicans. The Miami Heat could not contain Joel Embiid, nor Ben Simmons. And the process moves on. Philadelphia moves on to the second round. Heat are eliminated also in five, which means that previous first team all pros, all NBA players, NBA champions, stars in their own right, now have major question marks about where they are. In Miami, Dwayne Wade. In San Antonio, Kawhi Leonard. Of course, Leonard did not play nor even show up in this series. And I just want to hammer this point home once again. Five games were played in the NBA playoffs between your squad and the best team, the team to beat over the last 4 years in the NBA. You have played in this series. You have played against this opponent. You have won an NBA championship and played in multiple NBA finals with these guys for that coach. And you didn't have the guts to show up and support that team. Pathetic, Kawhi. It's pathetic. It's inexcusable. It's unforgivable. It's pathetic. Even if you can't play, which the team says you are, which the team says you are able to play, but even if you feel like you can't play, you can show up with those guys because those guys aren't holding you back from playing. Those guys didn't push you out before you felt like you were ready. Those guys don't pay your contract. Those guys had nothing to do with your argument or your problem with the Spurs front office or the Spurs medical team or the Spurs leadership. They got nothing to do with that. You should have been there for them. And instead, you stayed away, thousands of miles away, couldn't be bothered to even be there in support for emotional or spiritual support or maybe just a little bit of basketball IQ to say, hey, man, this is how I usually play KD. Hey, you should shift here. You should do that. Look for this. Couldn't even be bothered to do that. Bad look, Kawhi. I'll never look at him the same after that. Was that the last game that the Spurs play where Kawhi Leonard is a member of the franchise? I think so. Now, I readily admit Greg Popovich is the ultimate Jedi. The guy is Obi-Wan Kenobi times a million. These are not the droids you're looking for. And he has patched things up with LaMarcus Aldridge. And it's going to be really hard for San Antonio to acquire a player as good as Kawhi Leonard via free agency, because that's not oftentimes a free agent destination, although LaMarcus Aldridge did go there. And to get that type of guy in the draft when the Spurs always make the playoffs is even harder because you're never in the lottery. You're too good to be in the lottery. You're too good to stink. Pop and the Spurs are too good to stink. So finding another Kawhi in the draft, as great as they are at drafting, tall ask. So I'm sure the Spurs would ideally love it to work in San Antonio, but how do you look Kawhi Leonard in the face again and say, okay, we'll let bygones be bygones, we just want you back, big guy? How do you reintroduce him to that locker room where he bailed on them for the season and the playoffs and couldn't even be around? And if this is about his group, his guys, his people, as Pop has alluded to, how are you going to convince him to get rid of those guys? So frankly, I think this is the end. And I think that there's plenty of teams that want to try their hand at Kawhi, understandably so, and want to trade for him, and I think the Spurs will trade him this offseason. Number two, sure sounds like this could be the end for Dwayne Wade. I mean, Gabrielle Union is tweeting about this maybe being the end for Dwayne Wade. Gabrielle Union, his wife, tweeting last night, I hope this isn't the end, but my God, Dwayne Wade has had a career most people dream of. He's a damn legend, an icon, and he's cute. Aw. Hashtag Heat Nation.
Oh, okay.
He's 36 years old. Clearly, he's not the same Dwayne Wade he once was. 16 years of the NBA. And averaged just 12 points a game for the Heat after he was traded back there at the deadline. Wade doesn't have a lot of basketball left in his body. I mean, even going back to Miami and supposedly being rejuvenated, he had 12 points. Which, let's just say, makes what Tom Brady and LeBron James are doing even more ridiculous. I realize it's different for Tom Brady and Dwayne Wade. But LeBron and Dwayne Wade are only 3 years apart. 2 years apart, 3 years apart. And LeBron looks like he can do this for another 10 years. And Tom Brady is 40, 41. He's 5 years older than Wade. And Dwayne Wade is showing every sign of aging and eroding and not being effective anymore. I think for Wade, the Heat would love to have him back. Love to have him back on a short, cheap contract. And if Wade wants to play again, I think that's the only place that makes sense. What Wade found out this year was when he was not playing in Miami, and what he found out last year in Chicago, when he's not playing for the Heat, it's not very fun. Not at this point in his career. He got his money last year and this year, got that big two-year deal, and now, if he wants to keep playing, sign on the cheap with the Heat. I just don't see, and because he's such an icon there, I don't see him leaving. I'm sure Pat Riley will give him what he wants in terms of post-career positions and familiarity and comfort, the creature comforts that come with being part of the Pat Riley Mafia. Now that he's back, if Wade's going to play again next year, I think he plays again in Miami for one more season and then probably hangs it up. But it's distinctly possible we've seen the last Spurs game with Kawhi Leonard as a technical member of the organization, and I think it's possible we've seen the last Dwayne Wade game ever. And if that's the last Dwayne Wade game ever, the guy had an impeccable career. Comes out of Marquette leading that team to the Final Four, already stamped as a winner. Gets drafted by the Miami Heat and really leads the Heat to the 2006 NBA championship. Yes, they had traded for Shaq after Shaq blew stuff up in L.A. with Kobe and Phil. But remember, Dwayne Wade in that series dominated those four games that they won. Remember, the Heat were down 0-2 to the Mavericks in that finals, and Dwayne Wade took over. Those four games were sublime. And Wade leads them to a championship. Then Wade recruits LeBron, which might be even more impressive than anything else he ever did on the basketball floor. Brings LeBron to Miami. They go to four straight NBA finals, win two of them. He's done stuff in the community. He's treated people well. He's invested back into the city. They love him. He's won a gold medal. He's done everything you could possibly do and been part of the Banana Boat crew. Great career. Top to bottom, great career. Let's hear from Dwayne Wade last night after the Miami Heat were eliminated in Game 5.
Of course, y'all know I've given it thought. This is Philly, and I love Philly, but ain't going to be no breaking news here in Philly. I'm sorry. So I appreciate y'all concerning, but we'll worry about that later. You know, ain't going to break nothing here.
If he plays anywhere, he's coming back to Miami for a one-year deal. I just don't see him taking money to go elsewhere to once again have the nightmare headache that he had in Chicago and Cleveland. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Johnny's in Abilene, Texas this morning, locked into CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, John.
Hey, how's it going, D.A.?
Good, my friend. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. First time caller, man. I'd like to come aboard.
Come aboard. Permission granted.
All right. Well, D.A., I just wanted to run something by you. Talk about the draft. About the New York Giants coming in at number 2 and going with the QB. I kind of disagree with everyone thinking that they have to go QB. I would say from history speaks from itself that the Giants have been very successful coming in and bringing in a running game, and they need someone who's going to step it up. Looks like Paul Perkins is the odd man out. Browns are notorious for failing at QBs. Let them have it, and the Giants can go into the second round and try to go after Kyle Lauletta, which I hear from Richmond has quite the arm strength and capabilities to be an NFL starter. Wanted to see what you thought about that and take it from there.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, my friend. You know, when you talk about a quarterback like Kyle Lauletta from Richmond, you might as well just bank on Davis Webb. I mean, you have a quarterback that came out of a smaller school that you drafted last year. Why keep drafting project quarterback from small schools if you already have one on your roster? To me, the New York Giants, yes, they've always been built around a ground game. And you can look at Otis Anderson, Joe Morris, Tiki, and others. But the fact is, today's NFL doesn't lend itself to one running back. So the math doesn't work at the top when you select a running back that high. Because every team needs two running backs. And even teams that have a superstar running back like Todd Gurley need a great quarterback or need really good quarterbacking to win anything. Look at Gurley before Jared Goff. Look at Gurley after Jared Goff and really Sean McVay took over. Look at Adrian Peterson. Year that he had average quarterbacking like Tavares Jackson and company, bad. The year that he has Brett Favre, they go to an NFC Championship game. Eli Manning is old. Eli Manning is aging. I realize Eli Manning had no offensive line help. I realize he had no running back help. I realize Ben Beacon Light McAdoo was a bozo of the highest proportion. But I really believe this is the time the Giants never drafted the top three ever. The last time they drafted number two, they drafted Lawrence Taylor. We're talking about 35 years ago. To me, the Giants are at number two. You're going to get, at worst, the second-best quarterback in a quarterback-rich draft. I think the Giants have to take a QB at number two, and if they don't, I think they'll be mistaken. As great as Saquon Barkley could be, you just don't get this opportunity at the top of the draft if you're a consistent winner, and the Giants have been more often than not, and I think you got a strike right now because Eli is at the end. When we come back, the best of John Sterling's Sunday morning extravaganza. It's a beaut. Ain't it, Clark? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can always watch the show, the digital simulcast that goes on every single day at watchda.com. I highly encourage you to check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. It's all the quirkiness of the DA show, but in video form every single day, 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio and watchable at watchda.com.
Electronically ignorant.
So, you know, we here on the DA show have a love relationship with John Sterling. And I say love, not love-hate, because we do love him. He's a broadcasting icon. His voice is unmistakable. He calls every game, doesn't take an inning off. He calls all 9 innings of play-by-play with Susan as his color commentator. He has all of these eclectic home run calls that are his signature.
The Yankees win, and so many
John
other things.
Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo.
We certainly like to poke fun at him because some of his calls are ridiculous, like that one. But for the most part, as you could imagine, we do this out of love. Well, this year, for the first time, he is now hosting Sundays with Sterling on WFA to New York and across the Yankees radio network.
That's baseball.
And it's a pregame show to the Yankees' first pitch and where he takes phone calls. Well, John can't hear very well and apparently can't really see very well and seemingly behind the microphone of this show is kind of flying blind seemingly because when I was listening to it 2 weeks ago, I couldn't believe the delay that he had between the callers and his response time. And so I figured maybe early season glitch, they'll have it worked out. I know the engineers within the company are amazing. I've worked with many of them. So I just figured, you know what? This is a glitch. They'll have it worked out. Well, we're now a month into the baseball season, and it is extraordinary. I hope you enjoy excruciatingly long delays and people talking over one another because that has become the reason it's must-listen radio.
Eddie in Manhattan. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, John. How are you? I'm excited about the Glaber coming up here.
Sir?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Finally, 2 nice days in a row, right? So I'm excited about the Glaber coming up here. Do you have any update on what's going on with Clint Frazier?
Well, he's missed a trip.
Okay, so there's a lot of delay here. Not only is there a delay in saying hello to one another, there's a delay in talking over one another, there's the delay in answering questions. Well, I'm sure this will get better.
Here is John from Brooklyn. Hello, John.
John, how are you today? How's everything? Good?
Good. How are you today?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. John. John just saying, Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not like this will happen every call.
Here is Rico. And I don't know where Rico is from because I can't read it.
John, Rico from Rhode Island. Rhode Island, John.
Of course, one of my former stops.
Yeah, former haunts, I know.
Rhode Island, John. Rico, I can't read this. I need my magnifying glass here.
John, Rico from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Rhode Island, John. I'm sure this can't continue to happen.
It's a different era, but I would never give up Odell Beckham. I mean, he's a great talent. Who did you want to give him up for? Okay. It's very tough to have a conversation if they're gone. In fact, it's impossible to have a conversation if they're gone. Our break. I see what our break is.
What? Okay, number one, we have John Sterling breaking down the Odell Beckham situation.
But I would never give up Odell Beckham. I mean, he's a great talent. Who did you want to give him up for? Our break. I see what our break is.
Number two, the caller's gone. Nobody tells John, or they told him he can't hear it. He's just talking to nobody. And then, what does he say? Our break? I can read that?
Our break. I see what our break is.
What does that mean? Our break. I see what our break is? What?
I see what our break is.
Okay, great. I'm glad you announced to the world you see what the break is.
That's baseball.
I don't know why that matters to everybody. But okay, now we're just kind of talking out loud. Whatever comes to our mind. Note that, guys, this is not like I took 3 hours of radio and condensed it down into a couple of clips. These are all in succession. This is every call he's taking in one segment.
Here is Drew in Manhattan. Hello, Drew.
Hey, John, just let me say big-time respect any day of the week, so thank you, sir.
Well, we bless you. Was that Matt in Westchester?
No,
well, that was Drew. Here is Matt in Westchester.
It's still Drew in Manhattan. I do have two questions, if you have a minute.
Go.
Okay, first.
What? He has somebody on the line. The guy is actually speaking to him, and he goes, well, we must have somebody else on the line. John, the guy is speaking to you.
No, well, that was Drew. Here is Matt in Westchester.
It's still Drew in Manhattan. I do have two questions, if you have a minute.
Can somebody help out John? The man is dying on the radio.
Okay, first.
First. I'm not Drew in Manhattan.
It's still Drew in Manhattan. Oh. I do have two questions, if you have a minute.
Well, where's Andrew in Westchester? It's Drew in Manhattan. I thought you said it's Drew. It's Andrew. Andrew is Drew. Well, what happened to Matt? It's amazing. It's an Abbott and Costello routine.
Hey, John, just let me say big-time respect any day of the week. So thank you, sir.
He's still there. Obviously, that's got to be the end of the segment, right? Oh, no! There's more!
Where did you get the classic slogan and the pitch? What do you think about all that's being done to move the game along?
Right. What was the first question?
Where did you come up with your famous call and pitch?
Everything I do rolls out of my big fat mouth. I live my life by the seat of my pants. I certainly broadcast by the seat of my pants. It just happened. The pitch and the Yankees win and all that nonsense.
Yeah, I would say.
The Yankees win and all that nonsense.
Oh, I would say this is plenty of nonsense. That has to be the end of the segment, though, right?
What was the call you want me to take, Jack? Who? Oh. Thank you. Here is Mike in Brooklyn. Hello, Mike.
Let's just...
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, John? Pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you,
Hello?
Sir.
Oh, great, great. John, just...
If you love people talking over one another on the radio, you'll love Sundays with Sterling.
Nice talking to you,
Hello?
Sir.
Oh, great, great. John, just...
You'll absolutely
they gave up three really good
love
players.
It. That has to be the end of the segment, though, right? It has to be the end of the segment.
They gave up three really good players for him. There is a stat on the board that I adore, and you know I'm not a stat person. The last time the Yankees didn't have any player 30 or older.
And then the music just blares over, John.
Are they playing him off?
Please, John, we realize you can't hear anything. We're going to play this at a 10.
There is a stat on the
Wow, okay, I guess it's over. If you love people talking over one another, huge excruciating delays in conversation, nobody knowing who's actually on the radio, and music really heavy over somebody talking, you'll love Sundays with Sterling.
Our break, I see what our break is. There is a stat on the board that...
Holy crap! I mean, that is the most glorious car wreck of all time. And that was one segment. That was one radio segment.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, John? Pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you,
Hello?
Sir.
Oh, great, great. John, just...
So, I'm just going to let you know that the best of Sundays with Sterling will now become a staple throughout the summer here on the DA Show.
That's baseball.
Oh, it's
because they ain't canceling it.
It's something. Let me tell you, it's something. When we come back here on the show, Leila Ali will join us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Hey, good morning, DA. Love your take. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Appreciate you being with us every single day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 a.m. Pacific here on CBS Sports Radio. And remember, we're on SiriusXM as well. If your local affiliate doesn't carry us, you're outside of your normal listening area, perhaps you're on the move. It's okay. Check us out at SiriusXM 206. Again, that's SiriusXM 206. Our next guest is a world-class athlete, fitness, wellness expert, TV host, cooking enthusiast, and founder of her own lifestyle brand. On top of being a mother of two, she had a life in boxing. She's now an entrepreneur, and she's recently released a brand new cookbook, a lifestyle podcast, and is partnering to serve as an ambassador for difference makers across the country. She's also inducted into the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Leila Ali is our guest here on the show. Leila, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Man, you must be out of breath, out of energy, out of hours to sleep in a day. You are a busy one.
Well, you know, I try to keep busy. You know, once I've retired from boxing, you know, I'm used to working hard in the ring, so I can work hard outside of the ring as well.
Yeah, I guess when you grow up in the ring and you're getting punched for a living, everything else seems easy, right?
Exactly. Piece of cake. Nobody's trying to take my head off. I love it.
some would say that raising two kids is harder than actually being in a boxing ring. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that parenting is definitely one of the biggest challenges that a human individual can face in life, but it's so rewarding as well. So it's really hard to compare the two, but yeah, being mom is definitely my main and most important job.
How often are you able to find time to remain fit and in shape considering your background as an athlete?
You know, I have to make it a priority, and that's what I try to encourage others to do. You know, first of all, I know what it feels like to be at my best, so I've had that feeling before, so I'm always going to chase after it for the rest of my life. But, of course, as I've gotten older, you know, I was boxing in my 20s. I'm 40 now, so you can't do the same things you used to. I don't train for a living. So for me, to answer your question, I get it out of the way early in the morning. In fact, I'm going to do it as soon as we get off this phone.
Layla Ali, yeah, you have to make sure that you work it in, absolutely, and you're a busy person. You know, I wonder that, you know, with a cookbook that you're breaking out in the lifestyle as well and kind of tying it in to your background as an athlete, as a boxer, are the recipes that you're looking for, are they healthy recipes? Are they ones that you can use to get your body to the next level athletically?
Well, my cookbook, Food for Life, is really foods that I've been, first of all, I've been cooking since I was 10 years old. Most people obviously wouldn't know that or realize that. So through my career, I pretty much, you know, as a boxer, I learned about how important it is to get nutrition in your body and how the food that you eat actually affects your health and your performance. And that's a message I think that we hear a lot of times. We know we're supposed to eat healthy, but a lot of times people think of healthy food as, you know, like it's not going to be good.
Yeah, boring, bland.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be. It's comfort foods that are prepared in a way that's healthier for you. And there's so much more than a cookbook. There's so much information in there on how to start living a healthy lifestyle. And there is something, I have like the next level chapter and, you know, all these tips for people who do want to take it to the next level and want to do a little bit more. But there's also something in there for the average person that just wants a good meal, regardless of whether it's healthy or not. So I try to take that into consideration. Really proud of the book.
As a daughter of an icon, obviously you will forever be seen with, you know, the image of your father behind you. And your dad, when he was really speaking out against what he felt were social injustices, was not always a popular guy. In fact, he was very unpopular throughout the 60s and 70s in a lot of places. And today, he's universally beloved. What do you think about that and that kind of complete change in how your dad was received by the public at large?
Well, when you just think about the time in which he was taking his stands, right? You're talking about some heavy topics, the Vietnam War and racism and segregation and all of those things were at their high. And then you got this black man who's going around calling himself beautiful, the champ of the world, knocking everybody out. But then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of people felt like he didn't want to, you know, go and fight for his country. So, you know, America kind of turned against him. And then he was ahead of his time. You know, a lot of times people don't understand or don't agree, but then they see the end result in the end. So luckily he had that vision, and it kind of reminds me of Colin Kaepernick a little bit, taking his stand. I'm not comparing him to my father, but I'm just saying, you know, not everybody agrees with it, but his core, the reason why he's doing it at his core is for a good cause. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know, he's had to lose, you know, his career and put everything on the line. But at the same time, I think that that's something that's going to go down in history and it's going to be well respected, because thank God we do have those type of people that are willing to lose everything and take a stand for the good of everybody. But, you know, that's why I get involved with organizations like TIAA, because I grew up watching my father using his platform to give back. So when, you know, Oath and Verizon teamed up together to launch the TIA Difference Maker 100 program and asked me to get involved and be the ambassador, it was a natural fit for me, because, you know, I want to recognize individuals who are doing well, giving back through the nonprofits where they work. And I think it's great that they're going to give them $10,000 a piece, totaling $1 million, just for doing good. And I think that will encourage other people to give back as well.
I love those types of initiatives. I love pushing it forward and paying it forward and asking people to be better, because I think we could all use that. Layla Ali joins us here on the show. In terms of changing and shifting cultural acceptance, do you think guys like Colin Kaepernick and others that are fighting for social injustices across sports, whether it's those in football, basketball, other sports as well, do you think down the line they'll be accepted more when we have time to reflect on the work that they were doing now?
I would love when, you know, we don't have to take those types of stands anymore. You know, that would be great. It's like we focus so much attention. You know, we talk about Colin Kaepernick. We focus so much attention on what he did and where he did it, opposed to the reason why he has to even do it in the first place. You know, it's a shame that we're where we are, you know, in this day and age in our country. So I think that, yeah, hopefully it will be more accepted. But again, I rather focus my energy on hoping that we don't have to continue to do those things, you know. So anybody, not just athletes.
Well, it's a hard reality, right? It's a hard reality for people to deal with, that there are these social injustices that people know are very difficult topics, and they would rather lash out at other things than actually deal with the problems and issues, because they go back centuries and they're culturally digged deep into our consciousness. It's just hard for people to deal with, and that's the one thing that it's really hard to get over, isn't it?
It's hard and it's overwhelming, and sometimes you feel like, what can I do? You know, you feel like, man, the world is such a bad place. You got to teach your kids, you know, regardless of what side you're on of the line. You got to, for African Americans, we have to teach our children, you know, you don't just have the sex talk and the talk about, you know, those type of things that are hard anyway. You have to have the talk and tell your kids, like, you're not going to be treated fairly because of the color of your skin and, you know, all that. And for a child to understand that. And then on the opposite side with, you know, Caucasian parents that teach their kids, you know, not to be that way, even if they hear somebody else, you know, because you never know what people are learning in their household. So for me as an individual, I try to just make sure that I teach my children at a young age, without going into too much detail, that everybody's equal, be nice and kind, to take a stand when you see somebody, you know, treating someone wrongly. You know, I don't even mention the color of their skin or anything, just for any reason, you know, you want to be the person to take a stand for them. So I try to teach them that at a young age. And I think that, you know, it starts in the household with everybody. Because like you said, this stuff is, you know, oh my God, it's so deep. It goes so deep. And the conversation happens at home. That's where we learn.
Leila Ali, world-class athlete, and now she's a lifestyle brand, which is so cool. Mother of two. Food for Life is a recently released cookbook. Lifestyle podcast, Leila Ali Lifestyle, and partnering with TIAA and Oath as an ambassador for the TIAA Difference Maker 100 initiative that she brought up before, honoring nonprofit workers making a positive impact in the world, which is a great place to be, and we could use as many of those as humanly possible. Leila, it is great to catch up with you. Thanks so much, and congratulations on all the success and everything that you're doing right now.
I appreciate it. And let me say one more thing. If anyone's interested in possibly being someone, you know, that becomes one of the TIA Difference Makers, they can go to TIAADifferenceMakers100.org, and you can also submit someone else to receive $10,000 for the great work that they do.
That is awesome. Leila Ali joining us here on the show. Thanks, Leila.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Leila Ali joining us this morning on the show. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning. I had no idea what day it was when we opened up the show today.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I just feel confident in my ability, and sometimes that can lead to a mistake or two, including today, where my first words on the air were wrong. Happy Thursday to you, North America. It is. I threw a pick six on the first play.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just dropped back to pass. I saw the route, and I just underthrew it, chunked it, and it went back the other way.
Pray for us.
And then I doubled down before we had London Fletcher on the show. The NFL draft comes up tonight. Tomorrow night. Tonight. Yesterday. It's got to be one of those.
David, excuse me, my bad.
So basically we're down 14-0.
Throws it over the middle and it's intercepted. Intercepted by Mando.
Tomorrow night. Tonight. Tomorrow night. Tonight.
How about that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Happy excuse my bad, it's Thursday.
Oh no! We suck again!
Happy Thursday to you, North America.
My bad.
Get a load of this!
The draft is tomorrow night. No, tonight. Wait, my bad. I was right the first time. Tomorrow night.
I'm sick of it.
Tomorrow night. Tonight. Yesterday.
Are you kidding me?
Which is hysterical because within the first segment of the show, I did admit that I am not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect at radio, clearly.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We threw a couple of early picks, dug ourselves a hole, but fear not. We dug out of it and now eking out a fourth quarter win, especially after the Sundays with Sterling Audio. It's time now for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Paul tweets in, will the Celtics and Bucks be a seven-game series, or does Boston end it in six? I think it's a seven-game series. I take the Celtics in seven. I think each team will win their home games as they have this entire series. First two in Boston, next two in Milwaukee, last night in Boston. This will continue. I think Bucks win at home in game six. Celtics close out in game number seven. Tomorrow night, I'm certain on this part, tomorrow night is the first round of the NFL draft. And so tomorrow morning, we'll get you completely set up and prepared for the first round of the draft. Browns obviously on the clock, Giants at two, Jets at three, Browns back at four. This should be very interesting, to say the least. So we'll get you completely ready. And remember, Friday morning, we'll have complete analysis and reaction to round one of the draft. So be here. There's nowhere else that you should be rather than right here Friday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 a.m. Pacific, to listen to instantaneous reaction. Well, not instantaneous, because it'll be the morning after, but you know what I'm talking about. Quick reaction to the NFL draft Friday morning. All right, thanks to the guys behind the glass. Great job today. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. A young and up-and-coming star in radio, Connor Green, sliding into the assistant producing chair. Well done by Connor today. Andrew Kaplan on your Watch DA digital simulcast, doing a great job as always. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We will talk to you tomorrow when I know I'll know what day it is. The Mothership Disconnect. Tonight, yesterday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.